All right, we're going to spend a little more time with Alan Pfeiffer. We talked to him this morning on the morning show. He's a writer with American Thinker, and he wrote, I think, a very interesting piece about the Biden legacy. What will the Biden legacy be? And I think, and he thinks, I think we're both in agreement on this, that the legacy will be that this administration, I don't know about this man. I don't think we can say this man because I don't know how much of this administration he's actually running. But this administration will have done more in 4 years to fundamentally change what America is than any other previous administration. Would you agree with that, Alan?
Yes. I think a lot of this was sub rosa. That Obama started all this. And the bureaucratic state's been pushing this along for a long time, and now we see the impact of all these actions come to fruition.
Now, you say Obama started it. Do you think he's a part of it now as well?
Yeah, I don't have any information. I believe so, because you have some of the same people that were in his administration are active in the Biden administration.
You know, that is always kind of the $64,000 question, isn't it? Who is really running this administration?
You know, this really started with Obama because there's blanks when he went to Europe. Nobody can tell you how long he was there, where he went, who paid for it, and the media had no particular interest in understanding where he came from, how he came out of nowhere and became an American president. Now we got a president that you know everything about, but you don't know who's running the country. Two ends of the same book.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think the ultimate legacy of? We talked a little bit about this morning about comparing Jimmy Carter to Joe Biden. You didn't think it's a fair comparison, and I guess probably because if nothing else, Jimmy Carter was perceived as a nice guy that just didn't know what he was doing, and Joe Biden is just perceived as a puppet who's not a particularly nice guy, not a very honest guy, who knows exactly what he's doing, or does he?
I don't think he knows what he's doing. I think his wife probably has more knowledge of what's going on in his own administration than he does. But the legacy won't be known. You know, history doesn't really finalize until 20 to 50 years after the event occurs. But I think looking backwards today, we're going to look at Biden's legacy strategy to not let our friends win wars, which is part of the woke strategy that is in play today, and that Biden has a whole left wing, a progressive wing that he's trying to please. And if he doesn't please them, there's nobody else supporting him.
Yeah.
So this is where we are today.
And I've never really understood the strategy of appeasement. Can you explain that to me? What is it about appeasement that these people think is going to make for a better world?
That's a great question, Jimmy. And appeasement is about displacement. Give me today peace, and I'll worry about what happens later on if peace doesn't hold. Peace never holds. So what you have is you have a situation where young people want things to be good and easy and cozy and safe spaces, and the world is not like that. The world is full of people like Xi and people like the president of Russia, and there's people that have their interests are totally different than our interests, and they're being held as equal to our own.
I know
that can't be.
Yeah, I know there are a lot of organizations, groups, people who make money from war, and and the more war that's going on, the better off they're going to do. And I guess, you know, from a purely cynical standpoint, I can understand what is in it for them. I just don't understand what is in it for us.
Well, it's not in it for us, but it is in it for a group of people who have control in Biden's administration, who foresee our country going the European model. The European model is socialist, and individual rights, which are not guaranteed in Europe and guaranteed here under our Constitution, are under threat.
But socialism Does socialism logically lead to communism? Is that what is next, not just for us, but for Europe? I mean, should we look to Europe to see how close they are to becoming all communist countries?
Again, excellent question, and you already know the answer. Socialism and communism all are simply Marxism. They're shades of the same tapestry.
Okay. So this is really just all about power when you get right down to it. It's about perpetual power. Democrats want to stay in power forever. They don't want a Republican opposition.
Given an ability to eliminate the Republican Party by the virtue of importing 10 million future voters, which they intended to completely eviscerate the Republican Party, they had no intention of ever having to stand for an election again that threatened their power.
You know, we were talking this morning about if Trump were to get elected, you know, he did a lot of really good things in the 4 years he was in office, but he is not a miracle worker by any stretch of the imagination. There's been a tremendous amount of damage that's been done in the 4 years of less than 4 years at this point of this administration. And you said something very interesting about how long it would take to fix it and what would be required to fix it. And I think that people would be, it'd be interesting to see. I mean, you said 12 years minimally in order to be able to fix the problems that have been caused in the 3.5 years of this administration. And I wonder, does the American public have the patience or the understanding to give somebody 12 years in order to fix it?
Certainly they do. Now, there's two reasons they're going to do that. One, they can see the current trend is against their interest. The second thing they can see is if you give them early victories, you give them regular victories, they'll have patience as their life improves. Right now, they're comparing how their life was under Biden, is under Biden, as how it was under Trump. This has really made the Democrats nervous because they couldn't sell Bidenomics. But now, with the information we now have, we can see that the Trump administration is looked at with nostalgia in comparison to the current administration that is supposed to be so wonderful and is anything but.
Which, if you were Donald Trump, which would you, I guess knowing him, he would tackle everything at once. He wouldn't pick, you know, I'm going to do this first, I'm going to do that, then I'm going to do this. He would probably, I would think that based on what we know about what is concerning people the most, it's always about the economy, but it's also about immigration, and it'd be probably the easiest thing for him to do. It takes time to turn the economy back around. You'd have to cut tremendous amount of government spending in order to get, first of all, to get interest rates under control. But he could probably take some steps to fix the border on day one, couldn't he?
I've said this before, and sometimes I've been suppressed on this. The president could issue an order, the use of deadly force to close the border, and the border would be closed in 12 hours with half the number of agents we presently have on the border. People wouldn't do it.
Do you think he'd be willing to deport illegals who are already here, and would that come back to haunt him, do you think?
I think he necessarily has to deport these people because they're going to be a drain. Right now we believe there's roughly spending $150 billion a year on illegals. We can't afford it. All that money is borrowed. We have to send them back. We have to send the message that borders matter, that that the rule of law matters.
And how do you think he would go about, and of course we're guessing here, but I look at Donald Trump as a businessman, and here's something I've always wondered. Let me run this idea past you, Alan Pfeiffer, see what you think. One of the things that Mark Warner, and he's a Democrat, but I have to give him credit, he was a businessman. One of the things he did when he was the governor of Virginia, and I lived in Virginia at the time, when the budget wouldn't balance, he went to every single department and he said, you have to cut your budget by 5%. And I'm going to trust you to find the 5% that you need the least. And that's exactly what they did. Couldn't we do that? Could we do something similar at the federal level? In other words, look at the government as a business. Here are the departments where we are losing the most money. We need you to cut 5%, 10%, whatever that percentage is. I mean, 10%. Most departments in the federal budget, if you take away 10%, they'd never miss it. They could find 10% waste in 48 hours.
The truth of the matter is that 8% of the employment budget of the government goes up at about 8% a year, regardless of anything else. It's just people stepping up in grade, new hires. You can't do across the board cut, Jimmy, because there are some agencies that are so bloated and produce so little. You need to go and hit them hard. Whereas the Defense Department needs efficiencies of how they operate, but can't take the manpower cuts that the Department of Education could.
I got you. Okay. Well, that's why you have advisors, right? That's why you have a Secretary of Education, and that's why you have a Pentagon, is for people to make those tough decisions. But that's what's going to happen, don't you think? We're going to have to make cuts at the federal level.
We're adding debt at the rate of $1 trillion every 100 days. That is forecasted to continue and get worse over time. With interest rates, next year interest rates on the national debt, payments on the national debt will start to approach what we're spending on our national defense. That was only $400 billion three, 4 years ago. Next year it's projected to be $700 billion. It's unsustainable, as is our system of entitlements.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. All right, sir, we're not going to solve all the problems today, but it's always good to talk about it. Thank you for joining me. I sure do appreciate it.
I appreciate it, and I hope your people go to 1+1=2.com and learn more.
There you go, 1+1=2.com. That's Alan Pfeiffer, a writer and American thinker, joining us here on AM 950, KPRC, and the Jimmy Barrett Show. We'll be back with more in just a moment.